Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, Every Patient's Advocate. I'm here with Dr. J.C. Trussell, Assistant Professor of Urology, and for this morning's conversation, more importantly, the Director of Male Infertility and Sexual Function Department at Upstate. This has been an interesting conversation about the symptoms that men have and that their partners realize they have, things like low libido, erectile dysfunction, curvature of the penis, and then fertility problems. Dr. Trussell, what are some of the bases? I mean, certainly as men age, they'd start to develop problems, and some of them can be overcome better than others, but what are some of the other underlying problems men might have that cause these low functioning side effects?
Sure. Regarding erectile dysfunction, age, as you said, is the most important predicting factor. As men age, they're more likely to have erectile difficulty. And then stacked on top of that baseline problem are other medical comorbidities such as diabetes, high blood pressure, medications to treat these, especially beta blockers for high blood pressure, can worsen symptoms of erectile function. Biggest one would be like surgery. If you're having any surgery in the pelvis that can disrupt the nerves or the blood vessels going to the erectile organ, that can make it more difficult to recover. Hormone imbalances, as we discussed earlier, low testosterone.
Sure. Now, do those things cause the dysfunction problems, or do the dysfunction problems cause them? I mean, certainly, or maybe are they signs and signals of them? If a man's having a problem, does it maybe indicate that he has an underlying medical problem like diabetes or heart disease?
That's very insightful, actually. The erectile ability, in my mind, is a barometer for overall health of the patient. So if you're starting off with erectile difficulties, the very small vessels going for the erection are involved in a medical process like diabetes, one of the first signs of this patient will not be, a heart attack if there's smaller vessels being affected going to the penis. Said another way, if a guy has erectile dysfunction and does not have a diagnosis of diabetes or high blood pressure, we screen men for these diagnoses to make sure they're not being missed.
Ah, so it's the cart before the horse or the horse before the cart, either way.
That's correct.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
Okay. But, I'm also thinking back, being a child of the 60s myself and into the 70s, back in the 1970s, it used to be thought that all of these problems were psychological, there was something wrong with your head if you were having these kinds of problems. And it seems to me that men were being sent to psychologists and psychiatrists to straighten them out in those days. Where's that thinking gone?
Back in the 60s and 70s, there was very little knowledge about erectile physiology nor treatment opportunities for these men. So unfortunately, they are categorized mostly 90% of the time, in fact, mostly into psychogenic etiologies for erectile difficulties.
Oh, wait, explain that. Psychogenic etiologies, what's that?
or all in your head.
Okay.
So to speak. And now with the advent of oral agents like Viagra, Levitra, and Cialis, that's spurred a whole host of research and public awareness, and we now much better understand the physiology or the mechanism whereby erections occur. It involves small arteries and nerves going to the penis, and now that we understand how the erection occurs, the all in the head or the psychological component of erectile difficulty is less than 10%.
Aha.
So it's actually flip-flop from back in the 60s.
Very interesting. I always wonder about these studies that get done, and then, maybe 20 or 30 years from now, we're going to flip back to the other way. But for right now, it does sound like there are chemicals that can help you out. There are surgeries that can help you out. There are different treatments to take care of them. But, I also wonder, is there such a thing as male menopause?
Oh, certainly. That's guys losing the testosterone level that they once had, and it's because the cells in the testicles, called Leydig cells, that produce testosterone don't work as efficiently as they did before. And fortunately, we have simple treatment options for men. In the past, it was mostly injectable agents, and now there's gels and patches and even long-acting pellets that can go under the skin that will replace a man's testosterone.
I'm sitting here thinking these men are thinking injectable, and they're going, whoa, I'm not going to go see him. Injectable sounds pretty scary, but certainly if there's something you can swallow, that works out a whole lot better, doesn't it?
Yeah, there were pills in the past, but now we have like that alcohol hand cream that's in the hospital and in a lot of public areas. That product is we have a testosterone replacement product just like that. You rub it on your shoulders, it disappears in a minute or two, and that's how we can replace testosterone.
Really? Very good, very good. Let's talk, I wanted to talk to you more about Viagra and Levitra and Cialis, and these are the drugs that certainly we're seeing ads all over the TV. We see them in magazines, and I think sometimes even in the newspaper. And it sounds very simple. You know, you pop a pill, you swallow it, and that takes care of everything. Exactly how effective are they finding these things to be? Are they for long-term use? What do we need to know as men and women about these drugs?
Yeah, regarding men.
And I say that because it sounds so simple, but I suspect it's probably not as simple as it sounds.
Yeah, actually, for men, the pill works very, very well. In general, we quote about 70% chance of having an improvement with the oral agent.
Okay.
The side effects,
oral agent meaning the pill you swallow.
The
okay.
pill, right, uh-huh. right. The side effects are minimal. The most common would be some facial flushing, a headache, and maybe some acid reflux. Other side effects.
Acid reflux? Boy, that seems like it's out of left field.
These pills affect enzymes that are all over the body.
Mm.
Fortunately, most of these are focused within the erectile tissue.
They are.
For women have taken these oral agents in the past for female sexual dysfunction, and it works mostly for lubrication issues. It will not help with libido. We have other mechanisms for treating low libido in women.
You do. You know, that's an interesting question, because I know they did talk for a while about women taking something like Viagra, but I thought, and maybe I was wrong, that what they meant was they were developing something for women that would be like Viagra. Were women really taking Viagra?
I believe they were taking Viagra. It's off-label, of course, since it's only for erectile function and men. But research has been done in women, and it's actually curtailed a little bit, but it is an opportunity as an off-label use for lubrication issues regarding female sexual function.
Very interesting. I want to switch gears, because I think we've done a good job of covering what these sexual function problems are, particularly in older men. And I do want to switch gears. We only got a few minutes left, but I want to talk about fertility again, because in our family, we have a young couple who is having trouble conceiving. I know they've gone through all kinds of hoops trying to get pregnant, and they still have not been successful. And I know that you take care of some of those problems as well. And you also do the reversals. Men who've had vasectomies, for instance, who decide that they want to get their partner pregnant. So speak to me quickly about fertility problems. We touched on it in the first part of our conversation, but let's pick it up again.
Sure. If a man's had a vasectomy, which is actually a good birth control mechanism, if failure rate is only 1%, whereas a tubal ligation in a female has a failure rate of about 3%, that's a quick outpatient procedure. Unfortunately, family dynamics change. Even more unfortunately, sometimes children become unhealthy and parents would want another child.
Oh.
So those are the two main reasons I'll see a man for a reversal. And we do a nice microscopic reversal, and we're working with local fertility experts to try to freeze sperm if necessary to upon reversal, so we have some sperm in the bank in case there's any trouble if the reversal doesn't take.
You know, that's so interesting, because I remember when vasectomies were first being done, and I don't remember how many years ago that was, but in those days, if a man was going to have a vasectomy, that was the end. I even think that some men had to sign paperwork saying that they never wanted to have a baby with a woman again. So you've come a long way. Now you're saying you plan for the reversal as you're doing the vasectomy to begin with?
Well, that was, a vasectomy is still considered a permanent form of birth control. I was referring to actually reversing a man's vasectomy. As they get more years from the actual vasectomy, when they're coming to see me for reversal, the chance of success diminishes such that if they're out 15 years, the chance of a pregnancy is only 30%.
Oh.
So in those men, since I'm there operatively near the testicle, I'll often freeze some sperm just in case they're not able to have a child. That frozen sperm could be thawed and used for assisted reproductive techniques.
Very, very interesting. It's technology that I never would have thought of. That's fascinating. when I hear about problems with fertility, obviously that's the men and the women together, the partners together, right? And I would hope, and I hope our listeners hear this morning, that that partnership is just as important in older years as couples get older and they experience problems that maybe are not as drastic as fertility and having babies, but are a big question about quality of life. Do you, and you said you see partners coming in at the beginning, but would you emphasize that to partners this morning, that they should be motivating their the men in their life to see someone if they're having problems?
Oh, without a doubt. Well, there's a lot of different treatment options for fertility, for erectile dysfunction, for low libido. A lot of them are simple. A lot of them have very good success rates. And I can definitely improve a couple's quality of life. And I have them be a significant part of our conversation to figure out what route is best for them to take.
Very good. Very good. Great way to end our conversation, Dr. Trussell. This has been fascinating, I know, for listeners and for myself. I've learned a lot this morning. Thanks so much for coming by.
It's my pleasure.
And listeners, we are going to take a break. Please stay with us. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.